to Behind the Crime.
I'm Ella Calora.
I'm Rebecca Wood.
And this is our 10th episode.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
We decided to do something out of the ordinary for our 10th episode. When we first decided to make a podcast, we kind of agreed that we don't want to do certain cases that are just so overdone.
Yeah,
like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. Because it's at the point where
the Salem witch trials, like all of that stuff that's been done to death.
To the point where it's like kind of glamorizing it. So we don't want to add to the problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are going to focus on a bit of a way more famous case. But it's actually pretty special to both of us in the sense that it was kind of the first case that got us into true crime. Or at least me.
I don't know what the first case that got me into true crime was. It wasn't Lizzie Borden, but... Mm-hmm.
But it was... Yeah, I think... I don't remember exactly, but this was definitely one of the first.
It was one of the first cases that, like, I connected with different friends who were also into true crime.
Yeah, me and my sister were both really big into this case.
Mm-hmm. So, we're doing the Lizzie Borden case.
So... Obviously, this is a little bit different than normal. Normally, we have two cases that one of us, we each present one. But today, we're going to split up Lizzie Borden's case in the sense that I'm going to talk about her background and childhood all the way up until the murder. And then Ella's going to take over from there.
Yep.
And of course, we both know this case pretty well, so we're going to interject a bit.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to start, right?
Yep.
I'm ready.
Go for it.
So, Lizzie Andrew Borden is her full name. She was born July 19th in 1860 in Fall River, Massachusetts. She was born to her father, Andrew Jackson Borden, which is kind of a funny name, Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
I never knew that it was Jackson in the middle. And her mother was Sarah Anthony Borden. That's so interesting also because her middle name was like, you know, a pretty male name and so was her mother's.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really know.
I also think it's interesting that her middle name is her father's name.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I've never seen that before because her father's name is Andrew and her middle name is Andrew. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting.
Maybe because her parents both had a middle name, they were like, let's do another A middle name.
I don't know.
So anyways, Andrew Borden was a property developer and also worked in manufacturing. And her mother, Sarah, died when Lizzie was 3 years old, which would have been 1863. Andrew remarried in 1865, which was pretty shortly after his first wife died. And her name was Abby Durfee Gray. Now, obviously, after being married, her last name changed to Borden. Lizzie also had a sister named Alice Esther Borden, but she died in 1959, 2 years before Lizzie was born. But she did have a sister who was 9 years older than her, born in 1851. Her name was Emma Borden. And she was always quite protective over Lizzie, I read.
Yeah, after her mom died, she became like a mother figure to her.
I mean, at that point, she would have been 12 when Lizzie was 3. So back then, that was a lot, treated a lot older than now, you know?
Yeah.
So they had a very orthodox religious upbringing. They attended the Central Congregational Church in Massachusetts, and Lizzie was more involved than the rest of her family. She taught Sunday school for a period of years, and she was involved with two different groups within their religion. The first one was the Christian Endeavor Society, which was formed in 1881 in Portland, Maine. Members of the society basically pledged to try to make some useful contribution to the life of the church, and it's still around today, but it's now known as the Young People Society of Christian Endeavor. Just to give a brief background about that, she was also involved in the Women's Christian Temperance Union, which was founded in 1874. They advocated for temperance, which is alcohol abstinence for those who don't know, which would make the home life safer for children and women. They basically wanted to spread temperance through the U.S. and create moral reform just to improve overall welfare. They believed it would just be a more moral country if people weren't drinking, and that they believed that was kind of what caused things like infidelity and crime, stuff like that. So her and her sister lived with their parents into their adulthood. Lizzie was 32 at the time of the incident, I believe, in her early 30s. There's a bit of conflict in their family. Lizzie and Emma both often argued with their father and stepmother about financial issues, which was interesting because they weren't poor by any means. Like, they had plenty of money, but everything I read described their father as kind of cheap and stingy.
He was very frugal.
Frugal, that's a better word.
He was actually, like, pretty rich. They yeah. could have afforded to live in a more luxurious house and yeah. have, like, I know I read that, like, Emma and Lizzie both wanted to have parties and
yeah,
parades. Yeah, like,
they did have two people who worked in the house, I believe. They had two servants, at least one for sure.
They had a housemaid mm-hmm. named Bridget.
Yes.
And an interesting fact about this, so the girls, Emma and Lizzie, instead of calling her Bridget, they called her Maggie, because the housemaid that they had before Bridget, her name was Maggie, and mm-hmm. they, like, couldn't bother to learn her name. So uh-huh. they just called her Maggie.
Oh.
So if I refer to their housemaid as Bridget, that is her actual name. If mm-hmm. I accidentally say Maggie, because that's what they called her,
yeah.
just know that
same
it's
person.
One person.
But yeah, so they had enough money to afford a maid. They had plenty of money, but I guess they didn't like the way he was spending, or I guess not spending their money.
Yeah, their father was very cheap, like, very frugal about it, and the girls did yeah. not like that. They would go to their cousin's house, I think it was, or their friend's house, and see that, like, they were having tea parties and had nicer dresses, and their house was up on the hill, and it mm-hmm. was, like, bigger, and that's what they wanted, so they would often get very mad at their father.
You know, it's very interesting that they kind of turned out that way, because if you would think that being raised that way, like, did he raise them to be like that? You know what I mean? Like, where did they get that, those tendencies and actions from? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
To be a little bit stuck up and wanting to do more rich person things.
I think they were just jealous, and the fact that they had the money to do it and their father refused to buy a bigger house or have these parties,
yeah.
that just made them even
But when you
angrier.
Think about it, if you think about it logically, you are the people who are going to get all your father's money when he dies. Well, so wouldn't you want him to spend less money?
Well, the interesting part about that, which I'll get into a little bit later because this started happening right before the murders, their father started giving away pieces of property to mm-hmm. other people in the family.
It's probably because they were ungrateful.
I don't know, but that, like, closer to the murder, there, Lizzie and Emma were both getting angrier at him, and Lizzie actually eventually stopped eating.
Yeah,
with the family
I have that written down.
Because she was so mad because their father started giving away pieces of his property to other people in the family.
Yeah, so she just wouldn't eat meals with them at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say they were not on good terms and they were not close with their stepmother. They referred to her as Mrs. Borden. Many people, especially because Lizzie was so young when they got married, she was only 6 years old. You would have thought that since she was so young, she would call her mom, but they didn't. They called her Mrs. Borden, not even like first name basis, but I guess that was kind of
mm-hmm. and the
formal
other
courtesy. So they also apparently believe that their stepmother only married their father for his money. I read that in a couple different places, which was part of why they did not like her. But really, they were the ones who wanted his money.
I didn't see that part, but I did see two conflicting statements about their stepmom. So mm-hmm. Lizzie hated their stepmom. In a lot of depictions, she is depicted as the evil stepmother, but in real life, people said that she was a very nice mm-hmm. stepmother and that she was very good to the girls, and they think that the only reason why Lizzie hated her is because she went along with their father's ideas that they could live in
they could live a more frugal lifestyle.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't find anything to substantiate the fact that she married him for his money, because I think that was just them being jealous again and just but being the way that they are or the, were.
The interesting thing about that is, why would she marry him for his money if he wasn't using it? They're not living in luxury, so why
would she do that?
I don't know. I heard conflicting stories that, like, she was an evil stepmother, but then I heard a lot of stories that people said that she was actually a very nice woman to the girls, mm-hmm. and a nice person in general. So
yeah, and it's possible that the truth is somewhere in the middle, where she wasn't an above-average stepmother, but she didn't do anything evil. Like, she wasn't an evil stepmother. I don't buy that one, really.
No, there's also a lot of theories that there was abuse going on in the house, more yes. so from the father.
Yeah, I have that written.
I'll get into more of this later, but there were a lot of theories that there was abuse going on in the house and that their dad was having them do, like, awful things. I didn't find a lot more about that.
Yeah, I have that, that written down, too.
Having them do something that was, that little girl should not have been doing.
Yeah.
Well, not little. I shouldn't say little. They were both adults, but...
Yeah, I'll get into that a little bit as well. Another thing I was going to talk about is the fact that, you know, I already mentioned it, the siblings, the sisters were very, very close, and that Emma was more protective over Lizzie. They also, the two, helped their father manage their rental properties, and he gave them quite a large allowance mm-hmm. for this. So that it's not like they weren't getting any money. So I'm going to talk about shortly before the murders occurred, which was... the fact that the entire family got sick, and apparently Mrs. Borden believed that it was foul play, that they were poisoned. Apparently Mr. Borden had quite a few enemies in town.
Mm-hmm.
The truth was that it was just food poisoning. Nobody poisoned their food. It was just they poisoned themselves, essentially.
Yeah, so they had been eating the soup, the same soup, for like 4 days.
Yeah.
So the like probability is
it was just food poisoning.
Yeah,
bad meat. I read that it was bad meat mm-hmm. in the soup. Then I was going to address a couple of like the rumors surrounding her case. There's a lot of different ones, but I have highlighted some of the biggest ones. The first one, which Ella already mentioned, was that her father was abusive. Some people believe that this was what motivated Lizzie to commit the murders. Some of the reasons that this is believed is because Lizzie gave her father a ring, and apparently that was the only piece of jewelry he was buried in, which is odd, but it could just simply, like, it's odd that that was the only piece of jewelry he was buried in, but it simply could be that she gave her father a ring as a birthday present. Like, it didn't have to be like anything weird.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzie's room connected to Andrew and Sarah's room. Abby. Jeez. Yeah, so her room connected to their room. However, Emma's room also connected to Lizzie's room. So they were all connected, so that one doesn't really seem substantiated.
I didn't know that the rooms were connected.
Yeah, and apparently they all, at most times, kept their doors locked.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, there's really no way to prove it or disprove it, but overall it's quite unsubstantiated.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was that a lot of people argue that Lizzie Borden was gay.
Oh, I've never heard that before.
In one of the movies or shows that have been made about her, they basically made it seem like she was having an affair with their maid, Bridget.
I never heard that theory. That's interesting.
Yeah, and there's another reason. This happened after the murders and everything, but she had a very close friendship with Nance O'Neill, who was a famous actress during their time, but she was openly a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
And this apparently caused a little bit of a rift between the sisters,
mm-hmm.
which is part of why they believe that she might have been gay. But once again, unsubstantiated. Also, she never married, which was another thing. They're like, a woman who didn't get married, she must be gay.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not the case necessarily. So again, unproven. The last one I was going to talk about was, this one's I think probably the most common one, that Andrew Borden killed Lizzie's pigeons with an axe to punish her. This is technically true, but he didn't do it out of punishment. They weren't really her pets. They were just livestock that they often ate. So he just killed them just to have them for dinner. And that was common. So it is technically true, but it's also false because he didn't do it as a punishment. He did it for food. That's pretty much everything I have done right up till the murders.
Okay, so the murders occurred on August 4th, 1892. So a little setup for this. Emma, the older sister, had been gone for weeks. She was visiting some friends. She wasn't there. So that morning, everything was normal. We talked about how the family had been sick, but everyone was feeling better. Everything felt normal. The only other random thing going on at the time was their Uncle John had been visiting. So after breakfast, their Uncle John leaves around 8:45 a.m. He went to buy a pair of oxen.
He needed some.
I guess so. So he wasn't there. Andrew, the father, leaves around 9 a.m. to go on a walk and also go visit some of the buildings that he owned to check up on some business things. Shortly after Andrew leaves, Abby, the stepmom, goes upstairs to clean the guest room because their uncle had been visiting. So she goes upstairs to clean the guest room. Lizzie is in the kitchen ironing clothes. I'm going to stop here for a second just for something interesting that I thought. So Abby, the stepmom, goes to clean the guest room, and Lizzie is ironing clothes in the kitchen. Why do they have a maid?
Yeah.
Because they're doing chores. So I'm like, what is the...
Well, were they all doing chores?
Well, but like...
Yeah. What was... I mean, unless it was because she was there that day as well, right?
If on a daily basis they're all doing chores, then why maybe are they complaining?
Maybe
about...
she just had specific roles, like you do the sweeping and you wash the windows and you do outside stuff. I don't know.
I just thought that was interesting because also if Lizzie was like, I'm going to go iron clothes, then why are you so upset about not living in luxury if you're okay with doing this type of stuff?
Especially because you would think that the maid was there because the sisters obviously have less time to tend to the house because they're tending to the rentals. But she was home tending to the house.
Yeah. I just thought that was a
little
odd. So Abby's upstairs cleaning the guest room. Lizzie's in the kitchen ironing clothes. The maid was outside doing something. I don't remember exactly what she was doing, but she was outside. Andrew comes home and he goes in their living room and takes a nap on the couch. A short while later, Lizzie goes outside to the side door and tells her neighbor, Adelaide Churchill, that her father had been murdered. So Adelaide follows her into the house and they find Andrew bludgeoned to death. And it was very bad. His entire face was, bashed in. His eyes were gone. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of how bad it was.
It was very brutal.
Yeah, he was hit directly in the face over and over again. He had about 10 to 11 blows to his body. So then Bridget comes inside horrified. So then they all go upstairs and find Abby. Abby had been hit from behind to the head. She had 19 blows, which both of these are clearly overkill, so this was a crime of passion. There was no blood on Lizzie. The neighbor, Adelaide Churchill, said that she was spotless. Police show up and they are shocked. They thought at first that it was for sure an outside killer, like a crazed outside killer. But no one in the community saw anyone leaving the house or coming to the house.
And Lizzie didn't either, obviously.
Yeah, they didn't interrogate Lizzie that day. They actually just did it at the kitchen table, which I think it's very interesting how far, investigations have progressed over
evolved,
the years.
Yeah,
because nowadays that would never happen. They would be taken right down to the police station.
Mm-hmm. because even if they don't suspect you, you still were in the house when it happened. You still might have seen something that you didn't think of, might have heard something you didn't think of.
Yeah. So later, people said that there was a man knocking at the door that day angrily, but that was never confirmed. And when they were first asked, they were like, no, there was no one. But then later there was like...
Conveniently, there's a story. Yeah,
then there was a story. Police also said that no one could have entered the house. Like, all the doors were locked. They could only have been unlocked from the inside.
Or someone with a key, yeah.
Yeah. So then police quickly started thinking that Lizzie was the only one that could have done this.
Yeah, but also I'd like to say that a lot of the contribution to the fact that they didn't question her was, of course, the fact that she was a woman back during these times.
Well, that's the interesting thing, because police were like, she did this.
Not from immediately, though.
No, they did.
They really?
Yeah. Like, at first they thought it was an outside serial killer, but then when no one in the community saw anyone, and that, and then they realized that no one broke into the house, they were like, it was Lizzie.
Yeah. I just meant, like, when you first walked into the crime scene and saw a murder, oh, it had to have been, you know what I mean? Like, they didn't think immediately it was her.
Yeah.
It was, like, once they ruled out something else.
Yeah, but, like, it was pretty quick that they turned on Lizzie.
Yeah, I mean, she was the only person home other than the maid, and she was outside. Yeah. So either way.
Yeah. So then August 6th, Andrew and Abby were both buried. And at this point, the story had spread like wildfire across the country. So this is another frustrating thing about investigations back in the day. In the first few days, there were doctors, reporters, investigators, just all walking through the crime scene. Because investigators back then didn't understand how important it was to preserve a crime scene. And how, like, bad it is when it gets contaminated. Police did find out that Abby was killed first. And they believe that it was an hour and a half before Andrew was. Because when they found Abby, the blood on her was dry and she was cold to the touch. But when they found Andrew, like, he had just been killed. He was still warm. Yeah. The blood wasn't dried yet. And the other interesting thing about this story is there was no blood anywhere else in the house.
Right. Like none was, tracked anywhere.
No, it was only, like, on the bodies and around the bodies, but there was none anywhere else.
I mean, if you think about it this way, considering how long, like an hour and a half, you said, between the killings, the culprit, Lizzie, had plenty of time to scrub the floors between the first murder and the second one. And who knows, you know, maybe she immediately started cleaning after she killed the father and then went to say, my father's dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because since she was the only one home, she just had so much time to clean.
Yeah. So the only other blood that was found was on one of Lizzie's undergarments, but she said it was period blood, and because it was back in the day, police heard period blood and didn't question it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they heard period blood and they were like, oh, well, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, that reminded me of something, that the fact that her neighbor Adelaide said that she didn't see any blood on her, a lot of people believe that she performed the murders either just in her undergarments or completely naked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she had none on her clothes or anything.
Yeah. So another suspicious thing is a day after the funeral, Lizzie burned a dress.
Mm-hmm.
It was either on the stove or the fireplace. I saw in different places that it was one of them. And this was weird because dresses were expensive. So why was she burning a dress?
You know, what I read about that is that she actually did it with a friend there. And she just told her friend that it was paint.
Well, yeah. So their excuse was that there were paint stains on it. And later, Emma actually said that she told Lizzie to burn the dress.
Yeah. Apparently, I also read that, according to the sisters, they burned clothes frequently, like when something was wrong with them, it was just what they did.
They said that that's how they got rid of them.
Which is weird.
Yeah. So police also found in the basement, they found a box of random tools. And in there, they found a hatchet that it was just a head. Mm-hmm. So the handle of the hatchet had been broken off, and police believe that it was recently broken. Mm. And then the other thing was it was covered in ash. So they believe that it was the murder weapon, because it was also compared to the wounds on Abby and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was consistent. So police believe that whoever killed them washed off this hatchet and then covered it in ash to cover up any blood that may have been still mm-hmm. on it. The other interesting thing about this, and another suspicious thing, was a couple days before the murders, Lizzie was trying mm-hmm. to get her hands on persuic acid, which was basically chloroform. And she was trying to get it from the doctor. She said that it was to clean a seal coat. So, like, an actual coat made of seal skin.
Ew.
She said it was to clean it and preserve them. And the doctors said no. Like, why? Why
would you want that? Yeah, I mean, I'm glad he said no. But mm-hmm. I guess that didn't really help in the end.
So, there was an inquest hearing on August 8th. And the other interesting thing about this case was Lizzie was given morphine before all of her legal appearances.
Why? Like, did it say why? I never saw that before.
No, I guess just to, like, calm her.
But morphine? I mean, I guess they didn't have everything they have now, but, like,
I don't know, but it was also said that she acted erratic and she would refuse to answer questions even if it would benefit her. But in my mind, like, you gave her morphine.
Yeah.
So of course she's acting strange. I don't know why.
Yeah. And she probably had never had any drugs like that before.
Yeah. And they also said that, like, she would change her story a lot. But, like, in my mind, if she was given drugs, then of course she was doing that stuff. So I don't know. August 11th, she was arrested. And 10 months later, the trial began on June 5th, 1883. It was in New Bedford, Massachusetts. And it was called the Trial of the 19th Century. It was mm-hmm. huge. There were spectators everywhere, and mostly because she was a woman.
Of course.
Interesting thing about this trial that would never happen today, they brought Abby and Andrew's skulls into the court
to show
the marks on them and compare them to the hatchet. And when they did this, Lizzie actually fainted. Mm-hmm. Which was widely reported.
I mean, I don't know why they're surprised that she fainted. One, she was on morphine. Two, you just brought in her uh-huh. parents' skulls. Even if she is the one who killed them, you know what I mean? Like, that's still a lot to see.
Yeah. They had medical examiners testify that a woman could do it.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had, like, medical professionals come in and testify that she could have done it.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of people, not necessarily people who mattered, but a lot of people observing the trial who were like, it couldn't have been her, she's a mm-hmm. woman. But it's like,
exactly.
It could have been.
They did keep the acid part out of the trial since that's not what killed them, mm-hmm. so they just decided to leave it out. The defense argued that there wasn't any physical evidence, like no blood was found on Lizzie. And they also brought up the fact that Andrew was warm, so she didn't have time to clean.
Mm.
They argued that by the time she, like, went out and told her neighbor and the police showed up, if she had cleaned, he would have been cold or the blood would have been dried a little bit, sure. which it wasn't. This is when Emma said that she was the one that told Lizzie to burn the dress.
Mm-hmm.
The trial only took 3 weeks, and Lizzie never got up to defend herself. The only thing that she ever said was in closing statements, and she said, I am innocent. I will let my counsel speak for me. So then the jury only took 2 hours to debate, and the jury was made up of 12 men.
Well, yeah, no women allowed.
When they came back, the foreman was just too excited to wait for the judge to give the verdict, and he blurted out not guilty.
What? That's so, and it's not a TV show. It's real life.
People cheered. Like, everyone was cheering. Lizzie fell forward. She was so shocked. So she was just let go to live the rest of her life.
And her and her sister moved in together. Using their inheritance, they moved in together to a pretty nice house.
Yeah. So after the trial, she stayed in Fall River for the rest of her life. She got $350,000. Well, Lizzie and Emma together, which is about $10 million in today's money. They bought their dream house. Lizzie changed her name to Lizbeth.
Mm-hmm.
She never married. People thought she did it, which caused her a lot of problems. She got kicked out of her church. In 1897, she got accused of shoplifting.
Which ruined her reputation even more.
Rhode Island. Yeah. It was never confirmed, but she probably did it because in her childhood and in her adulthood, she would shoplift a lot. And
see,
her father
I read that
would
that was
just...
false.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's one of the rumors.
Oh,
said
true.
And talked about, but never proven.
I read that she shoplifted and her father would tell the store owners to just put it on his tab. To just let
I mean,
her do
I believe it.
It. Yeah.
It's just one of those things that, you know, it's not like it happened 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So later, Emma and Lizzie got in a fight and Emma left.
Do you know what some believe the fight was about?
No, I don't have that on here.
Nance O'Neill, the actress, the Broadway and movie actress.
Oh, right, yes.
That's what a lot of people believe the fight was about. Obviously, that cannot be proven because those two were the only people present.
Yeah.
But a lot of people said, even before... This is true that regardless of what their relationship is, she was not a fan of the fact that they were friends. And she also often threw parties for a lot of her movie star friends at their house, and she was not a fan of that.
Yeah, so Lizzie died alone in a house on a hill like she wanted with a bunch of dogs. She died in 1927 of pneumonia, and this was not a public funeral. It wasn't even published because they were afraid of the publicity that it would get. Emma died 9 days later of kidney failure, which I also found a little weird. They were both buried right next to their parents in Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, that's weird. Because, like, I mean... You know, she's pretty much the one who did it.
Yeah. Lizzie left behind $30,000, which in today is $600,000, to Fall River Animal Rescue League. Oh. And she also, this is very interesting, left $10,000 towards the upkeep of her father's grave.
Interesting.
But yeah, so she was never actually convicted.
Yeah.
And
people, that was a pretty common thing, though, with female killers back then.
Mm-hmm. People believe that if this trial was nowadays, that she would have been found guilty.
Mm-hmm. Especially because they would have had physical evidence. They would have found proof that she cleaned stuff up. They would have investigated the blood that she said was menstrual blood.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have actually had physical evidence. I mean, you know, most likely.
Yeah. So a very interesting case. I also forgot to mention this at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little rhyme that goes with this case. It's Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. And when she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. Now, obviously, this rhyme is not true. She only...
19 and
Abby
11?
Only had...
19.
Abby had 19. Andrew had... It was either 10 or 11.
Yeah. I mean, still overkill, but not to the point where... I mean, if she gave them 40 and 41, they'd be unrecognizable.
Yeah. I thought it was, I don't know. I don't know why they decided to use 40 and 41. I think to just glamorize it.
And probably, I mean, I think it was a lot of like, I mean, think about yellow journalism. They were like, look, I mean, it's like the original clickbait, you know?
Yeah.
I remember hearing that when I was little, but it's the same thing of like, the ring around, around the Rosie, where it's like a weird nursery rhyme. And there's a song called Awelia Walia, which is like basically about a murderous old woman in the woods in Ireland, in Dublin.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like there's just so many like children's things that come out of crazy
Very interesting.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Very weird. Yeah, so no one knows for sure if she did it or not. Yeah. No one ever will, unfortunately.
And
no,
and all those rumors we talked about, yeah, it's just, no, you're never really going to know.
Yeah.
Which I think is why this case was always so interesting to me, because there's just so much unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate. You know what I mean? It's really unfortunate that they couldn't prove that it was her or prove that it was someone else and actually mm-hmm. get justice for her parents. Because regardless of how well-liked they were or were not in the town, they still deserved that justice.
Mm-hmm. And it happens with a lot of cases. And I know, like, a lot of old cases are being solved even nowadays, like, using our new technology. Yeah. But unfortunately, there are some cases that there is nothing to examine again. Yeah. There's no DNA samples that we can put through a machine, because that mm-hmm. that is how a lot of older cases are being solved. They have DNA that they have from these older cases, and they put them in these new testing machines, and that's how they're yeah. being solved. But unfortunately, there are cases like this one that there is nothing to test.
I mean, think about it this way. Even if they went to her house, which is still up nowadays. Even
oh,
if
it's a bed and breakfast.
Yes, it yeah. is. And it used to be called the Andrew Borden House, but now, of course, it's Lizzie Borden House. Mm-hmm. But even if they went there and took some of the floorboard to investigate it, you know, or run it through one of those machines, the police who investigated contaminated it, so it doesn't matter what they find, they still can't prove it.
Well, I don't think it is the original floor.
I mean, it probably, I'm saying, like, a hypothetical, even if yeah. they did do this, even if they did have something to test, the police, you know, kind of botched it up.
I know the house was restored to how it looked back mm-hmm. in the day, but I don't think it would be the
did
original
anyone,
stuff.
Do you know if anyone moved into that house after the family moved out? Ooh.
I don't.
Or did it just sit empty till they restored it? Because that seems kind of unlikely to me. You know what I mean?
I'm not sure, but that would be something interesting to research after this.
If we find out, we'll update you on that on our story. But anyways, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We know it was quite a bit different, but if you liked that, let us know. And also, even if you'd heard of Lizzie Borden before, or if you haven't, or you just heard of her but didn't know much about her, we hope we gave you some more information
yeah.
that you didn't know. I mean, I think both of us kind of learned some new stuff mm-hmm. from each other and from our updated research. But let us know if you liked this, the way that we did this, just having one case that we both discussed and discussing a more prominent case. Maybe we'll do it again for our 20th episode.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram at behind_thecrime.
Good job.
Wow, I did it, guys.
Yeah, we'll post a lot of stuff on our story, all our links for this, maybe some pictures. There's a lot of different, like, shows and movies that have been made. I'm not going to recommend some of them because they're just mm-hmm. completely, like, dramatic adaptations. But, you know, a documentary, I believe there's one.
Yeah.
We'll post that because that's kind of, that's the content we support, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, thanks so much for listening.
Tune in about 2 weeks for our next episode, which I'll give you a little spoiler. It is about pirates. So we have 2 older episodes in a row coming out.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.